The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Paul Pagano of Lung Life AI, a next generation diagnostics firm that helps doctors identify early stage lung cancer. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much for having me. Good to see you again, Paul.
Yeah, well, big congrats on last week's in-line full-year results and positive outlook. Before we sort of dig into the details, I don't suppose you could quickly remind investors of what the company does and the sort of size of its addressable market.
Yeah, so we're tackling lung cancer. It's the top cancer killer. And the way we're doing that is with early detection, right? Because it's the top cancer killer, you can imagine that our addressable market is very large. In the United States alone, there's over 14 million people who are thought to be at risk for lung cancer. And so to answer your question directly, our total addressable market easily exceeds $2 billion. But importantly, because there are 250,000 new lung cancer diagnoses each year, most of which happen at late stage, it's a significant opportunity for us to make an impact in this area. And so what we've done at Lung Life is we've created what's called the Lung LB test. This is a blood test that detects signals of lung cancer at the earliest stages when it's possible to cure it. So using our technology, we're essentially detecting signals in the blood that no one else currently can. And so our first indication that we're going after is for patients that have what are called indeterminate lung nodules. These are abnormal growths in the lung. You can find them by CT scan. And the current methods of evaluation are really bad, super expensive, a lot of harms to patients. And this is where our Lung LB test can provide a lot of good for those folks.
And what sort of a performance advantages is the Lung LB over and above the current existing standard of care, but also other tests which are being sort of developed, whether that's through, I don't know, urine or stools or whatever, or other blood, you know, blood formulations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the short answer is we're industry leading in terms of positive predictive value. That's at 80%. And, you know, for the listeners, what PPV stands for is positive predictive value, and it means exactly what it says, right? So it can predict the likelihood that someone is positive for cancer should our blood test come back as positive. And it's probably best for us to compare that against standard of care, because most rival products that are being developed have focused their efforts on NPV, or negative predictive value. Yeah. That's the ability to say somebody doesn't have lung cancer. And those rival products are actually quite good at NPV. They have upwards of 98%. But I will say that doctors are fairly good at predicting when a nodule is not cancerous without using diagnostic tests, right? So a doctor's negative predictive value hovers around 95%. Their positive predictive value is around 60%, right? So an 80% PPV is a significant improvement over that. So we believe a test like ours has a massive potential in order to improve patient outcomes with that 20 percentage point difference in PPV.
So if you just take that as an example, then. So if I'm a doctor, et cetera, and I do a CT scan, the patient, you know, comes back, et cetera, and it comes back as a negative, then really I can almost like say, well, you know, the patient should be fine. If it comes back as an indeterminate, you know, sort of like nodule, whether it's going to be cancerous or benign, at the moment, you know, you'll either do a biopsy or you have a wait and see approach. But you're saying essentially because you've got this PBV of 80%, it gives the doctor another option rather than doing a biopsy of actually then, you know, doing this blood test that will distinguish whether it has got a cancerous nodule.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, of all the nodules that are detected, the vast majority of them that are in the intermediate space really comprise the most challenging obstacles for doctors to face, right? And so a rule out test isn't really helpful in this situation.
Yeah.
Again, because they can look at the nodule and say, unlikely cancer. But the PPV is going to give them an opportunity to say, look, I need to take action here. And that's incredibly important with lung cancer because of how lethal it is, right? Mm-hmm. Even if something as small as a 6 month, 12 month delay in diagnosis can reduce their potential for cure, right? Is by as much as 20, 30 percentage points. So they can have a 5 year survival of 90% if detected early. If you delay it by a year, that can drop down to 60% because lung cancers are so aggressive. And so having that PPV, that positive test, is a call to action for doctors, right? Let's not wait 12 months for a follow-up CT. Let's do it in 3 months. Or you know what? Let's accelerate biopsy so we can get that diagnosis, get that cancer out of that patient's body.
So if I'm basically a, let's say I'm a smoker and I haven't got any symptoms at the moment, but I'm sort of like 50 and I go to the doctor and he says, well, maybe if I've been smoking all the time, we should just do a quick screen. I come, basically I do a CT scan and I've got a small nodule, i.e., and indicating that it could be a small growth or it could be a small sort of like, cancerous. They do the test, it comes back positive. What would the doctor then do? Would they do a confirmatory biopsy, or would they wouldn't need to? I mean, how would you how what how would the sort of doctor react then?
Yeah, I mean, the doctors are loving the fact that our test works so well in small lung nodules because every test and diagnostic that's been developed to date really only works when the nodule exceeds a centimeter or a centimeter and a half. And so now they have the ability not to ignore those smaller lung nodules or wait a year or 2 years for those nodules to grow to where other diagnostic tests will now work well. They have the ability to go in and send that patient directly to surgery. If they want to do a biopsy first to confirm it, that's fine, and many pulmonologists do. But honestly, one of the most interesting things that I think a pulmonologist has told me about this is they'll have trouble convincing a surgeon to do surgery without more information about the nodule, right? A lot of pulmonologists that are really good can look at a nodule and say, you know what, it's in the upper lobes. It looks really scary. You have a significant smoking history and family history of cancer. I bet dollars to donuts this thing is going to be cancer. But the surgeon won't cut it out. They want a definitive diagnosis. And so pulmonologists want to use our test to now provide that proof to a surgeon to say, look, lung LB is positive. There's an 80% chance that that nodule is cancerous. We have to get it out now. And they believe that's going to be something that tips them over to the edge so that patient can receive that curative surgery faster without having to undergo the invasive, expensive, and frankly, very dangerous biopsy, right? One in five results in collapsed lung, bleeding. There have even people that have died as a result of having these lung biopsies. So if you can skip over that and go directly to treatment, that's something that's getting a lot of pulmonologists excited about using our test.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you could actually avoid having to do the biopsy, and you're so certain that actually it is a cancerous nodule that needs to be removed, then that's a massive massive benefit. Okay, so we've done the got the very good results from the validation study in January. What are the sort of the next steps to commercialize the test in the wider sort of like medical community?
Yeah, so there are two main things that we're focused on currently at the company. The first is this commercial proof of concept. And so we're running, it's called an early access program. This is effectively a soft commercial launch. We have multiple hospitals that were involved in the validation study that are now signing up to participate in the early access program. And the intention is to convert them essentially from a research site to a commercial center where they're ordering tests clinically. And should the lung LB test be useful to these hospitals, we'd expect to see continued or repeat ordering of the lung LB test. So along with this, we're looking to bill insurance providers for tests that are ordered outside of the early access program. And one thing that I want to touch on, there's a significant catalyst that's going to be available to Lung Life coming up, and that's that Medicare has proactively proposed to provide reimbursement support for tests that address indeterminate lung nodules. In the United States, this is called a foundational local coverage determination or foundational LCD. This is important because it could rapidly accelerate our time to get into mature reimbursement and thus, obviously, revenue. We're going to expect that they finalize this policy by the end of this year. It's something that we're watching very closely. And of course, we're going to be updating the market in due course, but that's another key part of that commercial proof of concept, right? You have to get paid for the test that you're offering to patients.
So, and, if they give that the green light, then, you know, basically Medicare, you know, what does that mean? You get paid straight away then, or from all the tests you've done, or how does that work? How's that sort of like a accelerator?
Yeah, you know, I won't go into the nitty gritty because it is U.S. reimbursement and it can get a little bit challenging. But
yeah,
typically,
I can imagine.
Your normal coverage process can take between 18 to 24 months.
Right.
And so through this foundational LCD, they say, you know, we'll cover any test that hits indeterminate lung nodules with X percent PPV or X percent negative predicted value. And so at 80%, we're in the belief that we certainly exceed that on the PPV range. We'll still have to submit our publications, our health economics, which we've already published on, to show and basically prove to Medicare that, yes, we do have this level of performance. But it could cut the time to get that coverage decision to around 8 months, 12 months maximum. So it really accelerates that path to, you know, mature reimbursement. And yes, once you have that LCD in place, once you submit a claim, it's essentially a contract that says, yes, we'll pay for that test.
Right. And is there any other sort of like tests which they're also looking at? It can do 80%, you know, PPV. I mean, you said lots of others have very good negative, but frankly, that's not great, great deal of useful information for doctors. But anyway, I mean, you know, the nearest one is CT scans. It's 60%.
Yeah, CT scan is close. PET scan isn't great either, especially for small nodules.
Yeah.
In our study, we found that the PET scan positive predictive value is between 65 and 70%. And that's a tool that physicians have now. And then other molecular diagnostic tests, again, really focus on NP. There's one that has a PPV that's around 65, 70% again. So again, about the same level as PET, but not as high as ours, which we're excited about.
Okay, good. Then also in the, I did notice in the statement, you mentioned about potential strategic options. Could you just put a bit of, I see that obviously, or accept that it's commercially sensitive, but sort of just the timelines and what the sort of the options on the table might be over, say, the next 12 months to accelerate that commercialization process?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And that's really the second and major focus of the company, right? So, you know, we'll get to some revenues this year with our efforts internally. But the way you get to much wider revenues and adoptions is by bringing in a strategic partner, right? So at Lung Life, we don't have any salespeople working for us at this time because we haven't budgeted for it, right? And while it's possible, from the get-go, we really haven't thought it's the best idea to build a sales and marketing team around a single product like Lung LV. And so what we're doing is we're looking to identify ways to accelerate getting this test into the hands of patients who need it. And we believe a very efficient way to do that is to identify a strategic partner, right? One that needs a lung cancer test, but has an existing sales and marketing force that can get the technology out there. And thankfully for us, lung cancer diagnostics, especially for early stage, are really tough to make, but that's where we excel, right? So we've identified companies who we believe would benefit from having a test like ours and have the capabilities and resources to deploy the test effectively. And while we don't know what the deal could look like at this point in time, we expect something by probably the end of this year. And it could be anything from a strategic investment, licensing the Lung LV test to run in their own either hospital systems or in their own clinical laboratories. It could be sales and distribution, all the way up to something like a merger and acquisition. Again, there are a lot of companies that have tried to develop technologies that address early stage lung cancer. And for a good reason, it's the number one cancer killer. It's a massive market, but it's hard to do, right? There's one major company that has 1% sensitivity in stage one lung cancer, 40% positive predictive value. But that's our sweet spot, right?
It's useless, isn't it?
In stage one.
Yeah,
we do the best in stage one. So why not couple our technology with theirs, right? That can detect other cancer types. And now you have a more comprehensive offering, and especially one that can hit the number one cancer killer. I mean, it kills more women than breast cancer every single year. You need to have a test that works well in that area, and we do.
It also, just, I mean, this is a hypothetical question. If I was a doctor and I had a patient who comes in, he's been, or he or she have been coughing, spluttering, they're at high risk, etc. Is there any opportunity for the actual, doctor to just to say, right, okay, let's not do a CT scan because it takes time. Let's just go straight to, a lung LB test because, I'm pretty suspicious of what their symptoms, the external symptoms. It looks as though they could well be a cancer patient, an early stage lung cancer patient.
Yeah, it's a question we get a lot from doctors today, right? They know the problems with CT scans. And there's one that really not a lot of people talk about here in the US, but some patients don't have ready access to CT scans, and they have to drive an hour or 2 hours to get that screen for early detection. And so a lot of physicians have been asking me, can I use this blood test ahead of the CT scan to find those signals and then draw those patients into a large screening center so they can get work done? And the answer is probably yes, eventually, right? But right now we are hyper focused on this indeterminate lung nodule problem. Again, it's a massive problem. That market alone exceeds $2 billion. And there's a significant opportunity for the lung LB test to curtail unnecessary biopsies and unnecessary delays in treatment. But I think the natural progression of this test is to get it earlier and earlier in the diagnostic pathway, right? That, of course, will make our market bigger and we'll get there in due course. But right now, we're going to prove ourselves in the indeterminate nodule space.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the other thing in the RNS I did see was the mention of the biobank database you've got there for early stage lung cancer, the identification. Can you just give us a bit of color on that one, what it means, the significance, and how you could see that, monetizing that particular asset?
Yeah, this is something that gets me really excited, right? Over the past 5 years or so, we've been collecting blood samples on patients with indeterminate lung nodules. And at this point in time, we have multiple ampules, right? Little vials in the freezers across over 600 unique patients, right? And because the lung LB test only uses 1 or 2 milliliters of blood per test, we end up putting the remaining samples in the freezer for future use. And so many of these patients that we have samples for, we have matched blood cells. We have plasma, which is what most of the community uses for diagnostics, right? We don't use it at all, so we get to save every drop of it. We have matching health records, including outcomes data, and we have matching CT scan images, all for early stage lung cancer patients. So now we have the ability, I should say, to follow up with clinical sites. So if there are changes in those patients' health information, we can grab that information as well. And on top of those 600 patient samples, the biorepository is also growing, right? I'll remind you of the partnership that we have with the National Cancer Institute's Early Detection Research Network. This group is providing us an additional 500 patient samples for people that have indeterminate lung nodules. And so we'll get the same data, CT scans, blood cells, plasma, and the outcomes of those biopsies, right? So internally, what we're doing at LungLife is we're leveraging that for ongoing lung LB refinement, right? So we're developing the second generation of this test, which is a multi-component test that not only uses blood, but it uses clinical features that are known to predict someone's risk of having cancer, right? Prior cancer history, size of the nodule, the usual suspects. But we also believe this biorepository is going to be of very high interest to strategic partners. Right. Again, many of whom exclusively use blood plasma. Right. The reason this is because clinical trials are super expensive. And importantly, they take a lot of time. Sometimes they take 2, 3, 4 years to accrue up patients. Well, guess what? We have all of them and their outcomes data ready to go. Right. So whether it's used in our hands or in others, it represents a way to essentially accelerate product testing and validation and get that product out to the patients who need it very quickly.
Yeah, that sounds really smart. I'm loving that in terms of, leveraging that data, particularly say on an AI basis, and as this science progresses. and you start seeing things, then you can not only validate it and test it, but you can also do a, you know, hypothetical sort of like scenario. Does this work? Does this not work? And if you're the only, if Lung AI is the only company who's got the scale and the depth of that information, it puts you in really on the, you know, right at the top of the tree, I guess.
It does, right? Like I'll mention again, we're the only company that I'm aware of that uses cells, right? Yeah. Most people throw that away into the biohazard bin and they just keep the plasma. So this is a great opportunity to combine information you can get from the cells with other diagnostics and information you can get from the plasma and have a really great offering for patient health.
Yeah, good. Okay, you also in March, you well, the company raised just a bit of top-up funding. I think it was £1.8 million in a placing. You just quickly take us through what you use the proceeds for. I'm guessing the early access program, and also what how long that then gives you a cash runway for.
Yeah, so that'll take us into April of 2025. And what that does is it funds our efforts in the commercial proof of concept, right? So part of that's the early access program. Part of that is going to be capitalizing on that foundational LCD that I was talking about, right, that Medicare is proposing. So it'll allow us to have publications that support our efforts going to Medicare and making that petition that the test should be covered. We'll also be looking to win contracts with other payers, right? Medicare is the largest payer in the United States, and they're publicly focused. But then we have a series of private commercial payers that we'll also try and contract with. And then a big part of that, and that's the second focus of the company, is looking for those strategic partnerships. So that will help out there as well.
Yeah. And the idea is basically to hopefully sort of sign one of the strategic partnerships before sort of the, you know, the end, you know, over the next 12 months. That's sort of the ideal aim.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Paul, and very much look forward in touching base on the next news flow.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.